It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Parts of Western Pennsylvania are pinning their economic hopes on Donald Trump. That may be a sobering notion for some who still can't fathom the idea of the bombastic businessman and presumptive Republican presidential nominee, winning the November election. But the fact is that places like Ford City, a borough in Armstrong County, have seen a dramatic decline in manufacturing jobs. And the people there who worked in the coal and steel industries have taken to heart Mr. Trump's message that he is going to bring it all back. Post-Gazette reporter Chris Potter recently ventured to Ford City and says the decline in jobs there has made it Trump country. Chris Potter joins us now in studio. Chris, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we'd like to hear from you. Do you believe Donald Trump can bring back jobs and restore the economy in places like Ford City? If you're a Ford City resident or just a curious onlooker or someone who maybe wants to believe that Donald Trump can do what he says he will do, or maybe you're a skeptic, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Again, the number to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Chris Potter, is Ford City really turning into Donald Trump country? I'm sure somebody seeing these headlines had to be maybe enthused or taken aback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the question is kind of why Ford City? Why go there of all the places I could have gone? And what I did after the primary, I got interested. Where was his support the strongest? So I kind of went county by county and looked at all 67 counties in the state to see which were the ones where in the Republican primary Trump had the highest percentage support. And as a side note, a lot of them were concentrated in the northeastern part of the state. I think six out of the top 10 were up in like Luzerne County and the surrounding area there, which is sort of an interesting story in its own right. But here in western Pennsylvania, in the Pittsburgh metro area, the two strongest areas of support Donald Trump had were Fayette County and Armstrong. And I made a sort of a decision early on that I didn't want to write about Fayette County because people just have ideas about Fayette that I just thought would have gotten in the way of trying to tell its story in its own terms.
Like what?
I mean, I think generally there's a sort of stereotype about Fayette County that, you know, people see it there and they start thinking of sort of Fayette Nom, or they, you know, they kind of pick up banjos or whatever. I mean, I just think there's an unfortunate kind of stereotype about it. And Fayette gets written about more often.
Was that a Deliverance reference?
It was. And I don't have that attitude myself at all. But I know a lot of people do. And I think if you sort of write about Fayette, I think people kind of snap to us. They kind of jump to conclusions about what's going on there. And I thought Armstrong was interesting. And two out of three voters in Armstrong County, two out of three Republican voters supported Donald Trump. And when I kind of looked, okay, I wanted to focus on an area in Armstrong County. And I needed a place that was sort of big enough to have a story to tell and central enough that I could go and, kind of meet people just walking on the street and interact with them there. And Ford City kind of surfaced. Three out of four people in Ford City, more or less, Republicans voted for Donald Trump. And the more I kind of looked into it, the more it just, Ford City in itself is such a sort of compelling story in its own right. I mean, more than maybe any other municipality I know, it was created by one person, John B. Ford, who is one of the founders of PPG, essentially, Pittsburgh Plate Glass.
I did not know till I read your piece.
Yeah.
And a lot of very interesting information and an interesting history there.
Yeah, he created the facility. And then what he also did is he created the town around it. And if you drive through Ford City today, you can still see kind of the hallmark of everything he did. He built these very wide boulevards. All of the avenues are very wide streets. A lot of the housing is kind of close set, but not claustrophobic. Because he really wanted to make a place for his workers or whatever. He really kind of built this town in very short order. It jumped from a population of, a few cows to more than 5,000 people in less than 25 years. So it was really the hallmark of kind of one guy. And it struck me as sort of interesting that one businessman kind of created this town. And now the town, which has fallen on hard times since, is looking to one business person to kind of turn it around. So when you look at the voter, just sort of the voter performance in that area, and you kind of look at the history, it really did seem a great place to tell a certain kind of story about a certain kind of set of Mr. Trump's supporters.
And you say that there are also Democrats there, people who traditionally have been Democrats because they've belonged to unions, which usually the people who are members of unions are Democratic supporters,
yeah.
But that they are jumping to the Republicans, or jumping in this case to the Republican presidential candidate, presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. What are the people you spoke with saying?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the union thing. I mean, there's some interesting things about that. One of the biggest, probably the biggest hammer to hit Ford City happened about 25 years ago. The PPG plant itself shut down, and that was amid a dispute between the company and between the union. There was an argument about flexibility of work schedules, and the company wanted more flexibility in assigning workers, and the union didn't, and there was a big protracted fight, and eventually the plant shut down. What you also had, and the mayor of Ford City, a very thoughtful guy, Jeff Cogley, said to me he was just laid off a month ago. He worked for ATI, or Allegheny Ludlum, as some of us older heads know it. He worked at a plant there that was just idled indefinitely a month ago, and he was a union guy. In fact, when I interviewed him, he was wearing a USW T-shirt. And I said, you know, Mayor, I got to say, it's strange to have a guy wearing a union T-shirt talking about how he was going to support Trump. And he said one of the things to me that I think stuck with me more than maybe anything else in reporting this story. He said, you know, I know the unions aren't, or the Republicans aren't for the union. But on the other hand, the Republicans aren't the ones sort of decimating entire industries. And for him, and for a lot of people who are like-minded, they really pin a lot of this on Democrats, because the concern is that the Obama White House has pursued environmental regulations that are bad for the mining industry, which is also very important up there, and that they have just kind of sat on their hands while China in particular has been able to take away a lot of the manufacturing base. So it's kind of an ironic thing to do for a variety of reasons. I mean, both parties have supported a free trade agenda. I mean, it's sort of one of the few areas of bipartisan agreement in this country. But a lot of them have sort of pinned it on the Obama administration, partly because it's happening right now and it's been happening under his watch.
Right. One of the borough councilmen you spoke with says his area is big on coal and natural resources, and it seems Democrats don't support that. Does he have a point? You mentioned what the Obama administration's policies have been. Hillary Clinton has said some things during the campaign that has drawn the ire of people who have worked in the coal industry, but does that still ring true largely among all Democrats, and particularly when you compare Donald Trump to the record of somebody like Hillary Clinton or her husband Bill Clinton, who unfortunately probably has not drawn the favor of people in places like Ford City because he has promoted things like NAFTA in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly you can say NAFTA was a whole different kind of trade agreement for a lot of people. And one of the ironies of this.
But are they saying that's why that's cost them jobs?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There are people who, and when your plant shuts down as this, or it gets idled, as the ATI plant in Baghdad, Pennsylvania did just down the road from Ford City, and the company says overproduction and dumping of steel from China in particular is the reason. It's kind of hard not to sort of draw, a series of dots there for sure. So, definitely that is something you hear quite a bit of. I mean, the challenge is it's not really clear whether Donald Trump is going to be able to turn that around in particular. I mean, for example, the coal industry, I mean, people will tell you this, experts will tell you this. I spoke to an industry analyst at Moody's who confirmed it. Coal's real problem isn't—it's not the environmental regulations. It's the challenge from natural gas, which is just—I think natural gas prices are around $2 to $3 per thousand cubic feet at this point. Natural gas is a strong competitor for coal at like the $4 level, and we've got a glut in natural gas right now. So it's real hard to see how you change that economic dynamic around. You can't say that regulation doesn't have an effect. Clearly, the threat of regulation makes utility companies less likely to build or operate coal-fired plants. But as this analyst said to me, even if you just struck the regulations right off the books tomorrow, companies look at this and say, you build a coal-fired power plant, that's an investment you make for decades. You don't just want to do it based on what you think the next president is going to do over 4 years. So it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge, but there's just this sense among people that they don't know what else to do. I asked somebody, not quoted in the story, you don't think the glass plant's coming back, right? I mean, it's basically just a concrete pad now. Donald Trump isn't bringing that back, right? And what I was told was, maybe not, but it's a step in the right direction. people just feel like they can't get any traction. And even when Hillary Clinton, you know, she's got a plan for communities in particular. Here's what we're going to make investments in economic development. We're going to make investments in worker training. One of Ford City's biggest headaches for the borough government itself has been an economic, they have to basically pay back like $500,000 in federal economic development support for a project that wasn't able to happen because the agency that was supposed to do it basically went bankrupt. And now they've got a $500,000 tab to pay, and it's something they've been struggling with. So when Hillary Clinton says we're going to have more money for that kind of thing, it's hard not to kind of see that as the kind of promise that hasn't really gotten you anywhere before.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Post-Gazette reporter Chris Potter. We're talking about his piece, Jobs Decline Helps to Make Ford City Trump Country. And it's a piece I urge you to check out if you haven't read it. You can find it online. And we're talking about his trip to Ford City, which is a microcosm, really, of a lot of parts of western Pennsylvania, rural parts of this area that have seen a dramatic decline in manufacturing jobs. And the people there who worked in the coal and steel industries have taken to heart Donald Trump's message that he's going to bring it all back. We'll get into some of the credibility of that and whether Donald Trump really cares about small towns like Ford City or even knows that they exist. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you live in that area. 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation. Again, 412-246-2002. Do you believe that Donald Trump can bring back jobs and restore the economy in places like Ford City? You can join the conversation again, 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. So let's go back to that question. What makes the people in Ford City think that a big city guy like Donald Trump cares about small towns like Ford City? What are they basing this belief on?
I mean, I think a lot of it is attitudinal. Several of the people just kind of said, he tells it like it is. He says what I've always wanted to say or what everybody wants to say, but just doesn't come out and say it. So there's a sense that he's up there. He's not from their background, clearly. I didn't meet anybody who thought, you know, he came from a hard Scrabble youth just like my own. So he doesn't have that kind of
credential. He's a big city guy.
Yeah, he absolutely is a big city guy. But, you know, to some extent, and in a weird sort of way, and this is one of the interesting things that he's able to finesse, is he's able to sort of, he has one foot planted in his world. And this is true beyond Ford City in my experience, partly because he's this big city guy who's been plugged in. You know, he'll say up on the stand, he'll say, you know, these guys hit me up for campaign contributions. He used to say that in debates. Oh, Ted, you were calling me a few months ago asking me for money or whatever. but his ability to sort of say, I can go, I've worked in this world, but I can go toe-to-toe with these guys. I know how they think. I know how they operate. I know how terrible they are at making deals. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to be representing you. And he's got sort of the anger. He's got the sort of populist resentment. And he's got a foot planted in this world that says they have to take me seriously. And by taking me seriously, they have to take you and the way you feel seriously. And he sort of positioned himself as the guy who's done that. He's actually taken something that you would think would be a liability, right? This sort of elite, you know, Upper East Side kind of background. But he's actually turned it into a very strong attribute that works for him.
Did you play any devil's advocate with the people there? Did you say, you know, Donald Trump could, you know, maybe he has the solution to economic problems, but he also could very well be the guy that, as a businessman, if he owned a company that, you know, if he thought that he could export jobs to a place, probably overseas, where he could get away with paying people a lower wage instead of union scale wages, that he wouldn't do it in a heartbeat like a lot of businessmen have?
And in fact, he does do that. I mean, one of the criticisms that's been made of him by the United Steelworkers, among others, is, hey, you look at where does he make the Trump signature line of clothing, you know, that bears his label? Well, a lot of those jobs are in China. They're in Bangladesh. They're in Mexico. Generally what you hear about that, and I didn't raise that particular point, was that, these are the rules that exist. He's a smart businessman. He plays by those rules. But B, that he's also... that he's doing this for America. I mean, they really believe in this, you know, kind of America first thing. They you know, folks believe that he's very sincere about that. And part of the reason why is he doesn't, people believe this too. When he says, I don't need this job, I was making a lot more money, you know, doing this other thing than I would be making in the White House or whatever, people find that a credible kind of argument. But honestly, I think a lot of this is, a lot of what he benefits from is people's expectations are so low of the other party. I mean, a lot of these folks I talked to, and this was interesting too, they weren't necessarily rabid Trump supporters. In fact, I talked to some who kind of were like, this wall, I don't know if this wall between America and Mexico is going to happen. You know, I don't know. But they felt like nobody else had really addressed the problem as far as they were concerned, which is ironic, of course, because actually immigration currently is there are not a lot of people crossing the border now as compared to 10 or 20 years ago. But they believe that he's serious about it. And they feel as though they have been conditioned not to expect a lot from the existing political class. And so let's roll the dice and give this guy a shot.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. I want to get back to the immigration thing because it would seem to be antithetical to the Western Pennsylvania work ethic and towns like Ford City, where, you know, in the 1800s, that was immigrants coming in and filling those jobs. But let's go first to Keith in Bellevue at 412-246-2002. Hi, Keith. Welcome. You're on the air with Chris Potter.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I understand some of the most recent comments you're making about immigration and things like that. I wanted to go back to real quick about some things that Trump has been saying about bringing industry and bringing work and labor back to certain areas and whether or not that could relate to Ford City or Pittsburgh in general, because he was in Pittsburgh most recently for a rally and made a lot of proclamations about how he was going to bring the steel industry back and how more recently he's talking about bringing coal industry back to a lot of places in our region and not having a lot of political experience and his business history aside, I don't know how he can stand up and make proclamations like that and really be taken seriously. Even by his supporters, if you really look at the facts and issues, he doesn't have a lot of ground to stand on based on his history as a businessman. You have to look at what has happened with a lot of his businesses.
Oh, we lost Keith there. I'm sorry about that, Keith. Don't know exactly what happened, but I think we get the gist of what you're saying here. And to Keith's point, have people in places like Ford City, are they looking into Donald Trump's credentials? Are they starting to ask questions as members of the press are about Trump University and if some of the information about that's coming out about that university and many people claiming that it was largely a scam, if people became in the electorate became more aware of this kind of thing, would they become skeptical as they are of Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I was there obviously before this latest round of publicity, for lack of a better word, regarding Trump University. And I was also there before this whole sort of kerfuffle over his support of veterans also broke. And that's an interesting topic in its own right. One of the folks I talked to actually was very cognizant of Mr. Trump's business background, specifically his bankruptcies. And I kind of said, he's had some issues there. And she said, and I've heard this elsewhere too from folks along the way during this campaign is, yeah, you know what? He's been bankrupt, but he got out of it. And this country is bankrupt. And we need somebody who's able to figure that stuff out. So I think there's a sense again that there's this, here's this business guy, and you know maybe he worked the rules to his advantage, but that's kind of what we expect from business guys, and maybe that's kind of what we need from a president. I think to your caller's question, I mean, I'm glad first of all that he brought up Trump's visit here, because part of what got me interested in doing this was here was Donald Trump in April in downtown Pittsburgh, a city that prides itself on having sort of overcome its industrial heritage, talking about bringing coal and steel back. And it just struck me as, man, that is sort of an interesting thing. And I got to say, I mean, the media coverage that the Pittsburgh region has got in recent years has been all about Pittsburgh and its renewal. But there are a lot of places like Ford City and closer to home than that that have just never participated in that. And what you now kind of see is a lot of media folks coming in, and all of a sudden people are interested in Aliquippa, right? Which they never were before. Ford City. I mean, there were MSNBC and I think the LA Times have been in Beaver County in Aliquippa just in the past month or so. But there is this interesting thing. But to get to his question, sure. I think, how does he do this? So the coal side, what he said is it's these environmental regulations. If we can just get out from under them, we'll be okay. And as far as steel goes, again, it's a matter of these Chinese are eating our lunch, and we need a shrewd guy up there to negotiate these better trade arrangements with the Chinese. And
okay,
that's,
but you've
that's
already pointed yeah. out that there is a hypocrisy there, that he has he's been shown to have exported jobs to China and Mexico and other places abroad, Bangladesh, what have you.
Yeah.
And that the other criticism of Trump is that he'll say anything that he thinks people want to hear, and that was largely what happened when he came to Pittsburgh, said the things that people who worked in the steel and coal industry would want to hear. And that has less has less resonance in Pittsburgh now
right.
than it does in the outlying areas like Ford City. So you're saying people are picking up on that message and they want to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody told me this exactly, but so I'm kind of inferring. So this is my sort of inference based on what I heard. At least he's talking to them, right? Maybe you want to say a politician is just saying what you want to hear, but a lot of these people didn't feel like anybody was really speaking to them or for them. And so here's a guy who's out there kind of talking about this stuff and in a way, in a sort of defiant way that I think really... it echoes with them. It's the tone as much as the content, I think, a lot of times. They just feel like he is out there. He's going to go to bat for us.
You say the Clinton campaign has not given up on places like yeah. Ford City. What are they doing?
I mean, what they're doing is they're doing what Hillary Clinton does a lot of and really well, is she's got very detailed plans. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to increase broadband access. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to help these organizations out. She has also said, I'm going to throw the book at the Chinese anytime they engage in this kind of trade, anytime they try to, take advantage of trade rules unfairly. So they are trying to speak to that.
How are people in Ford City reacting to that? Is that resonating with them at all, the way Donald Trump's messages?
No, I don't think so. And I think it's sort of, it's both... depending on kind of what your expectations are from politicians, the fact that she's really detail oriented is either a blessing or a curse, right? I mean, you feel like you know what you're going to get with her, but on the other hand, you know, kind of like we were saying earlier, these are pretty conventional sort of ways to address their issues, and I think they sound very familiar to these folks.
So between now and November, Hillary Clinton's allies plan to make the case that Mr. Trump's promises can't be relied upon.
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that the people in Ford City, that their minds can be changed in the next 5 months, or is it really Trump country?
It's put it this way, based on party registration and some of those things, based on the real evidence and sort of my anecdotal sense, it would be real hard to imagine anybody other than the Republican nominee winning Armstrong County and Ford City in particular. But Hillary Clinton doesn't have to. And this is one of the things that when I went into this story, I knew was kind of going to be an issue. There's a lot of talk about party switching. A lot of the coverage I mentioned before from MSNBC or the LA Times was about, all of these voters have been switching from Democrat to Republican over the years. And it's true, that's been going on. But in a broader sense, remember, because you win a state as a state. You know, nobody's running. There aren't any electoral votes in Armstrong County. The electoral votes are winner take all for the state. And Democrats increasingly have been able to build up their registration edge on the strength of their vote in Philadelphia and party switching that's happened in the counties around Philadelphia, which used to be kind of mainline Republican and are increasingly Democratic. So Hillary Clinton, she doesn't exactly need to win Armstrong County or Fayette or any of those other places. She just needs to keep the total of the margin down. She needs to keep it close enough where her obvious strength in Allegheny County and in the Southeast especially are going to be able to carry her up over the top.
Post-Gazette reporter Chris Potter joining us. Chris, thanks for your insights, and we'll keep in touch as you travel around the state covering different regions and what people in those regions are reacting to, what's striking a chord with them in the run-up to the November election, and of course the conventions coming up here next month. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up, remembering Roberto Clemente as a fierce critic of both baseball and American society. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.